ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago, and it's incredible. Do you guys know what this podcast is today? Monday, November 6th. Craziness. It is the beginning of the fifth season of Monday Motivation. We have completed a full 4 years of Monday Motivation. Unbelievable. So I'd like to give everyone a shout out there. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for helping this podcast become increasingly popular. I do believe that the ideas expressed here are genuine Torah ideas that help us view the world. They are the teachings of my rabbis that I filter through myself, my own personality, corny, silly jokes, and all around try to be good cheer. But nevertheless, ideas that are life-changing because they're Torah. It's the right map of the world. And actually, hopefully next week we'll have a podcast on that subject. All right. I want to thank all of you for listening. I also want to thank my family for putting up every Sunday night. Abba kind of goes away for a little bit, depending on what's happening and how long it takes to prepare Monday Motivation. And so I'd like to thank my family, my wife, Suri, my wonderful daughters, who are usually compose the live studio audience, and all of you for listening. Thank you. This is really a labor of love. And because of your feedback that I get, at least once a week, I get a positive email or text or rabbi is so meaningful. And then occasionally I'll get like, rabbi, my friend in like Yehupitzville is listening. So please do me a favor, starting our fifth season, if you could send me an email, rabbishalomg@gmail.com. Rabbi Shalom, Shalomg at gmail.com. Let me know what you think. Let me know how Monday Motivation Podcast is going. I think we've settled around a 20-minute time and 20-ish. And I think that's a good chunk of time. If there are topics that you want to hear about from a Torah perspective, please do let me know. All right. So thank you all very much and looking forward to a great fifth season of Monday Motivation. Now, my wife told me as I was heading down to the basement to record in our professional studio here at Garfinkel Manor, oh my gosh, it's been a little heavy Monday Motivation the past few weeks. Can you lighten it up a little bit? Now, granted, I think she's 100% right. However, it has been a little bit of a heavy time in the Jewish world. So to honor my wife, guess what? I have a joke for you. You ready? It's sort of topical. It's a classic one. A priest, an imam, and a rabbit walk into a blood bank. The rabbit says, I think I might be a type O. Type O? rabbit is really a rabbi, priest, imam, rabbi, rabbit, typo, blood bank. Okay. Anyway, all right. There's your lightening up. Now it's time to get really serious. All right. But I will say that the topic tonight is something that I never, ever, ever would have talked about. Not because it's not true, just because I don't think people would have heard it. People would have said, Rabbi, you are being unpolitically correct. You are making judgments about an entire people, an entire nation. It's unfair and I can't. And then I'd have all sorts of feedback. But you know what? I think there is a reckoning, a time of honesty that we need to be honest with ourselves and to look at the Torah perspective on Yishmael. Now, for those of you out there looking at the graphic, I kind of hit it. I did not want to have the front cover of my Monday Motivation be a Palestinian terrorist. Didn't want to draw attention to it. But nevertheless, also, I figured if anyone's going to listen to the fifth minute, through the fifth minute of my podcast, they deserve to hear what the Torah has to say about Yishmael, who is the patriarch of Muslims. Okay? They believe that. The Muslims believe that, as it's true in our Torah that we believe that. Okay, so here we go. In order to understand Yishmael, we need to understand the basic family tree. So here we go. And I will just say, for those of you, we're going to go through two stories in the Torah. We're going to glean lessons about Yishmael, his nature and his character. That does not mean that every Muslim is like this, but it does paint broad brushstrokes of a certain character traits that have come out often in history. And therefore, that is why we are discussing this to us, to be able to better understand our world today. But also, we're going to end off with a very powerful message about how we counteract the power of Ishmael, which is very real. Okay, so here we go. Back to the family tree. So the family tree over here, who do we have? We have Avram and Sarah. At the time, there were Avram and Sarai, and they were childless. Okay, this was a lot, 2 weeks ago, Torah portion, Parshas Lech Lecha. And Sarah could not conceive. And there was a concept that perhaps she could build up her house through her maidservant. Her maidservant was someone named Hagar. Now, Hagar was actually an Egyptian princess. She was Pharaoh's daughter. That when Avram and Sarah first went to the land of Israel from Mesopotamia, from basically modern-day Iraq, the Lech Lecha, go forth. And they went to the land of Israel. And one of the tests was they got to the land of Israel, and it was all famine. There was nothing to eat there. So they continued to journey on to Egypt. There they had an encounter with Pharaoh. We won't go into it. And Pharaoh was so impressed by the end, he gave his own daughter to be a maidservant to Sarah. Okay? And after many years of infertility, Sarah said to Abraham, take my maidservant Hagar and conceive with her, and then that child will be considered part of my household, and I'll be built up through that. So it turns out that Hagar got pregnant basically right away, and she started looking negatively at her mistress, her master, feminine form, Sarah. And Sarah was very upset, and treated Hagar very harshly. It's a very interesting Ramban, Nachmanides, who says that the pain and suffering that Sarah caused Hagar to feel, we still feel the reverberations of that today in the ability for her descendants to cause us pain. It's a very difficult Ramban, but I'm just throwing it out there. Okay, so what happens over here is that there is a prophecy. So Sarah was treating Hagar strictly, and Hagar flees. And she flees to the desert. And here we have in chapter 16, she has a prophetic experience. An angel of Hashem comes to her and says, hey, basically, Hagar, go back and submit yourself to Sarah's domination. And the angel of Hashem says to her, this is in chapter 16, verse 10, I'm going to make you a great nation. There are going to be so many of them. All right. And then the angel continued and said, you're going to conceive, give birth to a son. Call him Yishmael. Okay. Because Hashem has heard your prayer. It's very interesting that the verse says that Hashem heard her prayer. In the second story, Hashem does not hear her prayer. He hears Yishmael's prayer. It's very interesting. Okay. Now here's the key. In verse 12, it says, V'hu yeh pera adam. And he will be a para-adam. We will explain what that means. Yad abakol, his hand will be in everyone. V'yad kol bo, and the hand of everyone will be in him. V'al panei kol echav yishkon, and over all of his brothers he shall dwell. Okay, so what's going on here? What does this mean? All right, so we need to understand a little bit about Hebrew. Here we go. In Hebrew, well, let's do English. In English, you would say a good man, right? The adjective comes before the noun. I'm sorry to talk about grammar, which is uncomfortable for people, even college graduates. But the adjective is the descriptor. We put the descriptor before the noun, a good man. In Hebrew, they do the opposite. Do not ask me why God made the Hebrew alphabet like a language like this, but that is what he did. That we say ish tov. Man, good. That's just the way it is, okay? So accept that as a given. And so therefore, says the Rishu Lev Diskin, great rabbi in Yerushalayim of previous generations, who said the following. It doesn't say Adam Pereh, a man who is wild, about Yishmael. It says Pereh Adam, which means the noun is a Pereh. Para means wild. Fundamentally, Yishmael is a wild creature. He's a wild entity. The adjective is Adam, is human. He is a wild entity that is human-like qualities. Okay, we're not calling Yishmael subhuman. That's not what we're calling him. He is made in God's image, just like every human being. But the description is telling. There's a fundamental wildness within the character of Yishmael that can be civilized in Adam, but many times is not. And in fact, that is why Hashem tells Hagar that she should have a strong hand in Yishmael when she raises him, because he needs limits. And we will get to that later. Okay, now. What else, according to Rashi, is basically the following commentator, is that he'll be a desert recluse, more of a hunter type of person. Yado bakol, what does it mean? His hands will be in everyone. At least him, that they will have a proclivity, an inclination towards theft. Vyad kolbo, everyone hates him and fights him. He stirs things up. Okay, he stirs things up. And Aravi, la'arov, in Hebrew means to mix. And Aravi is one who mixes it up. Meaning, he's never, keep your hands to yourself. Just mind your own business. That is not in Yishmael's nature. I remember years ago, I don't know what the current statistics are, that there are hundreds of conflicts worldwide, according to the United Nations, and almost all of them have at least one participant in the conflict being Muslim. Okay. I'm just sharing facts. Okay, please someone fact check me on that one. Will someone please look that up and send me the stat, what the latest UN stats are. Okay, now, the second story. So what do we see here from there? We hear from there that there is this streak, this tendency in Yishmael to have this wildness. What I would like to do now is go to the second story. And this is in Genesis 21. And this story takes place after Avraham and Sarah have their own son, Yitzhak. And Yitzhak is growing up. And Sarah is very upset because Yishmael is not behaving appropriately. And she tells Avraham to kick out Hagar and Yishmael because it's a bad influence. So how does the Torah describe Yishmael at that point? And we are in chapter 21, verse 9, Chaf Aleph Pasuk Tes, Vatera Sarah. Sarah saw as Ben Hagar Hamitzris, the son of Hagar the Egyptian, i.e. it's a little bit of a allusion there, Egyptians, a little wild, a little unruly. Asher Yalda L'Avraham B'Mitzachek, that was born to Avraham, Mitzachek, Mitzachek. What does Mitzachek mean? Mitzachek means that he was doing sins. He was, according to Rashi, either serving idolatry, okay? Or he was involved in sexual improprieties, okay? Or we're talking about murder. And all of those are the three cardinal sins. Those are the three no-nos in Judaism. And what does each of them show? Each of them shows that there was a lack of boundaries. And in fact, it's an unbelievable thing. Yishmael grew up in Avraham's house, a house of chesed. When Avraham served the guests in this past week's Torah portion, Parshas Vayera, Yishmael was part of the hospitality crew. He was running to help serve the guests. You'll see to this day the positive character trait of chesed, of kindness. Later on in the Torah, it says that it calls one of the words for sexual immorality, impropriety, is chesed, kindness. What? What's the matter? What's going on? Because when you take kindness to the nth degree, it's no boundaries and no limits. Unfettered love without boundaries leads to adultery. It leads to improper relationships. Why? Because you have no boundaries. And therefore, that was Yishmael's problem. Yishmael's problem is that he had no boundaries. He was mixed in with everyone. He didn't know where to stop. And therefore, Sarah says he cannot be in the same household as my son Yitzhak. He was playing games with Yitzhak, the William Tell game, right? Put the apple on the head and shooting the arrows. And Sarah was worried for the life of her son Yitzhak. And so what happens? Abraham, it's very difficult for him. Again, Abraham is the character trait of chesed, of kindness. It's very hard for him to do an act of quote-unquote cruelty and kicking out his son and Hagar. He does it, provides them provisions, and they are then what? They're run out of provisions in the desert. And here is something incredibly, incredibly telling. It says that in verse 16, that Hagar basically sat down at a distance, a few bow shots away from her son Yishmael, who is dying. Now, Yishmael was not a small child at this point. He was 14 when Isaac was born, so he's at least a teenager, 16, 17, 18, depending on how long it was that he was in the house before they were kicked out. And she says, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat a distance, lifted her voice, and wept. Meaning that we see an incredible cruelty here from Hagar. That Hagar, when her child was dying, she said, "I can't be pained to watch the death of my child." Can you imagine Jewish mother seeing her child die and go away a few blocks because she doesn't want to see it? Are you kidding me? And Hagar is criticized heavily by the commentators there, and also even by the verses, because it says that God heard the voice of the lad of Yishmael, and that's why Yishmael and Hagar were saved, because of the cruelty of Hagar. Now, I don't know if you can draw the comparison and you see this character trait of a fundamental selfishness in order to fulfill one's own needs and using one's children to fulfill one's own needs, okay? A Jewish mother would never use her child as a human shield. Never, ever, ever. Never, ever, ever. A Jewish mother would never put her child in harm's way to protect herself. Just the opposite. And unfortunately, we see this all the time, every day, every single day. In fact, an entire military terrorist strategy has been built by Hamas and many, many others in Gaza and around the world who share these values that children are expendable. Do you know how many thousands of Palestinian children died digging terror tunnels? Thousands. The world doesn't talk about that. The world doesn't talk about that. And yet this comes from Hagar. She puts her own selfish emotional needs in front of the welfare of her own children. And now the boys, as we're bringing this in for a landing, the boy's name is Yishmael. Why? So it says earlier that God listened to the boy's voice. And so there are two approaches in the commentators. At least I'll share with you two. One of them is that the voice of Yishmael is heard by God. Yishmael has a power of prayer. Yishmael has a power of prayer. We cannot assume that Yishmael's prayer is irrelevant. God listens. And the other approach to why his name is Yishmael, Yishmael means God will hear, is that really it's in future tense. God will hear, meaning what? What is the purpose of Yishmael in this world? Is that Yishmael is the painful stick that the Almighty will use to give us a whack on the backside, and it will cause us that our prayers will be heard, that the Jewish people's prayers will be heard. And therefore, there's a fundamental challenge that we have, and here's where we need to get motivated, is that Hashem is listening. Whose prayers are stronger? Who is in it? Who's davening? Who's praying harder? Yishmael says, "I really should have been the one to inherit the legacy of Abraham." And we say, "No, we're worthy." But Yishmael is the one to remind us that we have to step up and do it. I can't tell you how much the prayers, the davening, have increased here and just in West Rogers Park alone, but I know across the entire Orthodox world, and I know this podcast has a large reach, Everyone listening to this, I'm telling you, you have to increase your prayer. If you do not pray, then 60 seconds after this podcast, before you go, turn left, turn right, go get off the, you know, stair machine, whatever you're listening to. Stop. 60 seconds. Pray. Hashem, return the captives. This is the challenge of Shmuel in our world, is that he's causing us to pray. And therefore, we need to hear that message. And if there's anything to be motivated about in this incredible tragedy, is that we need to pray. We need to turn not to the human forces of salvation, but it's Hashem and only Hashem, as we pray for our forces to be successful. But we only rely on the Almighty. So I hope that this educational foray into the character of Yishmael was helpful, but not only helpful, but inspirational and motivational to stay true to our mandate of being Monday motivation. God bless all of you. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again back right here for the second episode of the fifth season of Monday Motivation.